All right, let's continue. In other words, all of the above transcendental qualities can be present in the devotees in minute quantity, whereas the qualities in fullness are always present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's that? Yes. No, the qualities are there, but they're not manifested unless you become a pure devotee. Like, all souls have this ability, okay? Read it that way. Constitutionally, all souls have these 50 qualities, but they may not be manifest until they become a devotee. So that's why you'll see people, they're a mix. You meet anybody, he's got his good things, he's got his bad things. When you become a pure devotee, now all of these 50 qualities shine forth. The bad qualities have all been transformed into good qualities. Okay? That's the context. What? They have them. They have them. But once you come to the material world, depending on your association and contamination, you may not manifest them. Okay, for instance, one second. Let's take Ravana. Okay? Ravana is one of your original demons. But we could go through, he was intelligent. Otherwise, how he could, okay? And he was powerful, but in the final analysis, we would have to say, yes, he was intelligent in a bad way, and he used his power to hurt others, okay? So these qualities are there, but they become perverted. Here he's talking about on the bright side, the good side. The qualities are there, but how are they being manifested? Are they being manifested nicely or adversely? Yes, Krishna Prema?
I think the sentence is, the individual living entities can also possess all of these qualities in minute quantities, provided they become pure devotees of the Lord. So there are two things I wanted to ask you, and a comment was that even if they don't, they're not pure devotees, somebody that I know who's like a CEO of a company, McNerney, our Boeing CEO, when he spoke, he exhibited certain kind of authority, certain kind of intelligence. So even if they're not a pure devotee, still they have some of those great qualities.
And that means to some extent there is some, he is from his previous life, he's not in that position unless he has performed some kind of devotional activities.
Something must be there.
Yes, exactly.
Achieve, like a Bill Gates or
yes, there has to be some pious activities, or in the words of Lord Chaitanya, yeah, you don't achieve any material perfection unless there is some mixture of devotional, there must be some devotional service.
Simple presentation they give, they show all these qualities. Not all of them at one time, but some of the qualities are seen, right?
Yes.
So they become they become more attractive to the people.
Yes.
So that's how they become disciples. Otherwise, how could they attract? Like Prabhupada, how could he attract thousands of people?
I would agree. Yes.
So that's an example of pure devotees.
Okay. Yes, Anand?
So my only comment is about the 50th quality.
The 50th?
Supreme Controller. So that to me seems like it's an absolute. You can't be like, like a minute supreme control?
Yes, you can. You can be a you can. You can. Supreme controller. Yes.
Minute supreme controller? Isn't that, that's like one or the other. It's using a
contradictory. Ah, very good.
Yeah.
Apparent contradiction. Because you're thinking on the material plane. But once you are able to actually grasp the elephant on the dish, then you will be able to understand that seemingly contradictory things are possible on the spiritual level. Okay? As yes, if you're going to stay from the material aspect, I would agree. It's in, it doesn't seem possible. But once you actually glimpse the transcendental platform, then it's not a problem. And that's why many times I have said, if you want to understand our philosophy, then you have to be able to imagine that it's possible that an elephant can sit on this kartal. Or that other story, when Narada told the Brahmins, Narayan was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And because they were on the material platform, they said, Narada, go away. This is stupid. Whereas the simple cobbler, because of his pure heart and had must have been on the transcendental platform, he had no problem accepting that Narayan was threading an elephant through the eye. And then he said, look at this banyan seed. In this seed is a whole tree. So he had some kind of transcendental vision. Fair enough? Plausible? Okay. As parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the individual living entities can also possess all of these qualities. We already read that, sorry. Besides these, there are other transcendental qualities which are described by Lord Shiva to Parvati in the Padma Purana and in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with a conversation between the deity of the earth and the king of religion, Yamaraj. It is said therein. So first of all, if you recall in first canto, that the king of religion took what form in this conversation? And Mother Earth took what form? Do you recall? Yes. And Yamaraj took the form of a... Yes, yes. Very good. It is said therein, persons who are desirous of becoming great personalities must be decorated with the following qualities: truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, perseverance, renunciation, peacefulness, simplicity, control of the senses, equilibrium of the mind, austerity, equality, forbearance, placidity, learning, knowledge, detachment, opulence, chivalry, influence, strength, memory, independence, tactfulness, luster, patience, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, mannerliness, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, gravity, steadiness, faithfulness, fame, respectfulness, and lack of false egotism. Persons who are desiring to become great souls cannot be without any of the above qualities. So we can know for certain that these qualities are found in Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul. So, Nishant, I would like to ask you a question, sir. So, say I'm your student, okay? And I say to you, so what school should I go to acquire these qualities? or where on the internet should I get these qualities? What would you say to me as your prospective disciple? How does someone get these qualities? So that process is known as? Exactly. By the execution of bhakti yoga, these qualities, because they're already there, they just come out. Like, if I wanted to be a doctor, it just doesn't come out. If I chant doctor, 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 I'm not going to become a doctor. Because you have to go to school, you got to be trained. But in terms of bhakti, just by chanting purely, these qualities will, just even just by chanting, if you're able to chant nicely, apart from anything else, you will gradually manifest these good qualities by nice chanting. Yes.
What is the meaning of placidity?
Placidity means you're very calm, placid. You're not easily agitated. You're cool. You know, it's like, and we see that with Krishna. Even sometimes he's fighting a demon, he's nonchalant. Okay, sometimes he gets into it, but sometimes it's like, or I'll show you an example of some of the qualities. At the Rajasuya, Shishupal was blaspheming him. There was no reaction on the part of Krishna. Or in the Daksha Yajna, when Daksha was criticizing Lord Shiva in front of everybody, well, Shiva didn't say, if tomorrow in New Dwarka Temple, somebody starts saying, you know what, Subhas is like this, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he's just going to sit there. Maybe he would. Maybe he would. But you can imagine the tendency. Will, you know, that'd be true for anyone. The heart, even Krishna says, the hardest thing is to tolerate somebody's abusive verbal attack. It's very difficult. Krishna recognizes that. It's mentioned, I believe, in the Uddhava Gita. You know, it's not easy. So, I mean, I just got a phone call the other day from a devotee. And he was saying that I know these both devotees, and one devotee is publicly criticizing this other devotee. And he's doing everything he can not to, you know, physically react. It's hard. It's not easy to do that. What? What's that? Again, because bhakti yoga is absolute, regardless of the motive, you get purified. And the example is Dhruva. Dhruva began bhakti yoga with a material intention. But after meeting the Lord, he then realized that his intention, he actually condemned himself, that I had a bad intention. So the process, and this is an important point, apart from any other kind of religion, what makes bhakti yoga unique is that your intention doesn't matter because the process purifies you. Even if your original intention is bad, the process is so powerful, it purifies you. And, well, any item of devotional service, any of the 9 items of, if you perform them, even with a bad intention, if you do it, eventually you will become purified. That depends on several things. It depends on how serious and sincere you are, and it depends on Krishna's causeless mercy, because it's not a mechanical process. Krishna may make you sweat. You understand? But the devotee's attitude, like Rukmini. Rukmini, when she wrote her letter, said, even if I have to take 100 more births, I don't care. I want you as my husband. So that's the devotee's attitude. And the same thing that was that example of Lord Chaitanya. Mukunda, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, was associating with Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya, to set the example, told his associates, I don't want to see Mukunda. He's hanging out with the impersonalists. Tell him I don't want to see him anymore. Don't allow him. So when Mukunda found out, he said, will I ever get your association? And that went to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, in a million births. And Mukunda said, just a million births? Oh, I can do that. That's a devotee's attitude. Okay? It's unconditional. There's no condition. Okay? Can we continue? I love your input, by the way, and your questions. I like it. Besides all of the above mentioned 50 qualities, Lord Krishna possesses 5 more, which are sometimes partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. Operative word? Partially. Right. These transcendental qualities are as follows. Changeless, all cognizant, ever fresh, Satchidananda, possessing an eternal blissful body, possessing all mystic perfections. Krishna also possesses... Okay, now Anand, back, I keep thinking about your point, how it seemed to be a contradiction. So, our whole process, if you think about it, we are worshiping material objects and saying that this is God. Now, unless you can accept the spiritual energy and how it works, we're worshiping idols according to everybody else. We're worshiping idols. That's what they think. But because we're able to accommodate the elephant on the dish, you guys aren't worshiping idols, you're worshiping God. You have accepted the premise that God allows himself to be worshipped by these acceptable forms. So simply on the strength of Krishna's word, we are accepting this. We can't verify that. Of course, there are the stories of Sakshi Gopal, but again, you know, somebody's going to say, well, that's just written in some book. But we, scientifically, we can't verify that. Can we? There's very little in Krishna. Even the belief in God, he can't verify it. There's no way. Even Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita says, there's no proof of the existence of the soul or God other than through Shastra. You can't prove it. If we could, that would solve all the problems of the world. But even still, another argument. When God was here 5,000 years ago, still not everybody accepted him. Krishna was walking here on earth. Dhritarashtra didn't, he was like confused. I think he's God, but I don't think he was like... And that was one of the questions he asked Sanjaya. How come you accept Krishna as God and I don't? And Sanjaya said, well, if you want to accept Krishna as God, you have to become austere. You have to develop the spiritual path. You have to associate with devotees, not your son. And you have to live a righteous, pious life. God is not cheap that he shows up on, you know, some late night TV show, or shows up at the halftime on the Here I Am. Even if he did, some people will not accept. So, you know, 99.99% of our philosophy, it's not verifiable. And another example I give is that, you know, nobody can verify when I'm fully satisfied with paneer sabji. I know I'm satisfied. Hare Krishna. Right? Or when you love somebody, you can't scientifically verify, okay, they're in love. No. That's between the two persons. It's not something quantifiable. Okay? The problem with modern man is he wants to reduce everything to some kind of measurement, calculation. No, that's not what life is. It's not. So many things in life are not verifiable, quantifiable, test tube. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please.